You're on your Classic It's Breakfast with Jordan Curtis, and I imagine buying a house at the moment is quite pricey, which probably means good things if you are selling a house. You might be able to make a fair bit of money out of it, but you could always use a bit of advice, some helpful tips. I'm joined by Julia Newbold, Managing Editor of Money Magazine. Julia, how's it going?
Well, thank you, Jordan. Thank you.
Yeah, not too bad. I guess, first of all, what is the house market like at the moment?
Well, it's pretty hot at the moment, and mainly because there's a scarcity of properties on the market. So, you know, people are getting the prices because, you know, supply and demand causes the market to be as it is.
So I guess if we are going to be buying a house, how should we start things off?
Well, there's a few things that we look at to start them off. And the first one, I guess, is the budget. You know, what is your absolute top dollar that you can borrow and that you can actually put towards the house? And then make sure that you've accounted for all the hidden extras. So, you know, how much it might cost you to have the inspections, how much stamp duty costs, whether or not you have to have lender's mortgage insurance, how much that will be, the conveyancing, the title transfer, your insurance, your moving costs, lender fees, and everything else. So, you know, when you're putting together the budget and you think you've just got the house price to contend with, that's not actually the case. So make sure that you can afford all the bits that go with it.
Right. So you mentioned lender's mortgage insurance. What's that?
So lender's mortgage insurance is something that you have to take out with the banks if you have if you haven't got a large deposit. So it's to kind of help the banks, I guess, that if they have to sell it because you're not repaying it, so that they will get all their money back. So basically, if you want to enter the market and you haven't got enough deposit, the banks will still lend it to you, but there's a bit of a fee that you have to pay to ensure that they'll be looked after.
Right. And I guess it's not just that sounds like it's a fairly immediate payment when it comes to putting money towards your house, but then there's the stuff you need to take into account that doesn't really have much to do with buying the house itself, but that comes from owning a house.
Yeah, that's right. You know, there's other costs for owning a house, but the lender's mortgage insurance is an amount that you've got to pay. And so, you know, it might be the difference between your 5% or your 10%, and you have to weigh up whether it's worth trying to save that money by getting a bigger deposit or whether it's more worthwhile to just pay it up front and be in the market already.
Right. So quite a lot of things to think about on top.
Absolutely.
Of, yeah. And then I guess once you do have the money for the house, everything else.
Yeah. So you've got your recurring payments. Can you pay the interest rates? Do a few calculations to see, well, what if the interest rate goes up 1% or 0.5%. Can you still afford it? Is it really going to impact your normal budget? If you're moving into a unit or a townhouse where you have to pay strata levies, you know, is that going to affect how much you can afford to pay? And, you know, count in your council rates, your building insurance, your maintenance, and anything else you might need to pay on an ongoing basis.
And then what happens with joint ownership?
So there are two ways that you can buy a property. And one is to have a joint tenancy or be tenants in common. And basically the way that it works is if you go in as joint tenant, you both equally own the property. So that it's usually two people, it's typical for first marriages. So you go in, you buy this property and you own it jointly. And you have the same share that it's just you both own 100% of the asset. If down the track one of you dies, the other person automatically inherits that. But if you have it as tenants in common, it's a totally different way. You might own only 10% of the home and the other person might own 90%, or you might have it three-way and, you know, in all sorts of ways. If you own it as tenant in common, then you own whatever that percentage is, and you can determine where that goes in the future. So that if you do die and you own a property as tenants in common, you might say that upon my death, I want my part to go to my children. So if you're going into a second marriage or a third marriage and so on, that's probably the way you hold the property so that you can determine how it's divided up later.
Right. Sounds like a bit of a headache. If you're rich enough to buy a house outright yourself, go ahead and do that.
it's an important one. You can change it. Like once it's it's done, you can change it down the track and it doesn't really cost you. But it's an important one to keep in mind as to your estate planning.
And I guess it helps whether you're buying or selling in the property market, getting a clear idea of what your property is actually worth.
That's right. So, you know, we look at how do you do that, and you've got to, you know, research it properly. So, you know, look at the papers, CoreLogic, your estate agents, they can all provide you with the information. But if you're going into the market as a buyer, the information is there. But also as a seller, it's really important that you know that it's a realistic amount that you're going for. So you probably need to interview a few different real estate agents to see what they think and then have a look at similar houses in your area.
Yeah, I guess, well, you got to be feeling confident if your neighbours have just sold for quite a lot more than what your house is worth.
That's right. And, you know, I live in an area full of townhouses and we're all basically the same. So you kind of know your value of your house all the time because there's something very similar that's just sold in a street away.
Well, we are just running out of time. Is there any last bit of advice for people buying or selling?
I guess one of the things that was interesting in this piece for Money Magazine this month was the rise of the buyer's agent. You know, we know that a real estate agent is on sellers. Side, you know, to sell the property, but the buyer's agent is someone who can help you if you're buying a property. And once upon a time, it was usually for very rich people who were relocating from another city, but now it seems to be more common that people are using the buyer's agent so that they can access properties that are maybe off-market sales because people might not, you know, want to have them as open houses or they're trying to keep it private that it's for sale and whatever. But it's a good idea to have a look at the buyer's agent because it can save you a lot of money and certainly time.
No worries. Well, Julia, thank you so much for your time today.
My pleasure. Thanks, Jordan.
That was Julia Newbold, Managing Editor of Money Magazine on your Classic It's Breakfast.